The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee this day. This is Brother Ryan speaking to you from the House of Worship at Pine Creek Independent Church, USA. But far greater than that is when we speak from the country of faith that we're all citizens of in Jesus' name, as there are better and more glorious places to be in Christ that rise above the cares of this world. Beulah Land of Isaiah 62:4. It's one of those places. It's in sight. In the land of the happy union with Christ and the delightful country of his all-encompassing presence, as there are places to walk and songs to sing in the glorious future that's set before us. Futures are inheritance given by the one who was and is to come, who establishes eternal truths of one Lord, one faith, one baptism in Jesus' name. It's always future in Christ when we're buried with him by baptism and are arisen, a new creation, in Jesus' name. And his word shows us the way. So for this week, I'd like to speak under the title of Where Could I Go? That echoes the refrains of an old gospel tune of Where Could I Go But to the Lord? I'm sure that many of you know the song and have sung it in your own congregations, as we have in ours. In that song, there's a line that says, Where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Within those phrases set to music comes a very important thought by way of the question, where is it that any of us could go for help in times when the soul is troubled or when the soul is in need? As faith that dwells within the heart knows that it needs an answer to such questions, there are simply times in everyone's life where we have need of spiritual answers. Perceiving this, Jesus spoke to this effect in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now that's a promise from the Master himself. So we have his word of authority on it. And if people aren't finding, then, well, they must not be seeking. As man does not live by bread alone, he does in part, the physical part of things, but he needs the spiritual bread to sustain the soul, or else he dies. So we seek the Lord our God and look to Zion's hills, to where our help comes from. And that help comes to us in writing, through the pages of the Bible, and that's where we go. We go to the Lord in prayer to keep our lines of communication open and worship God in order to pursue a real relationship with him. And a critic will ask, why does God need all that worship? Well, simply put, we're the ones who need the worship to have a relationship with our Creator. And where else could we go but to the Lord and his word? God's in his word is so proclaimed in Revelation 19:13, where his name is called the Word of God. And without praise of worship, how would we ever be able to express of what the soul within so desperately needs? As physical bread just does not suffice the inward being. We need expression to live up to our full potential. And that's true even for God Almighty himself. God spoke and said, let there be light. That's the first expression that we're given in Scripture of the Almighty. And it caused light to come forth. And if there was no expression of light, well, then there would be no life to follow it. God would only dwell with his companion wisdom for all eternity if there was no outward speaking of inward desires. And God had desires. He desired to be a father. He desired to raise up spiritual children. So he spoke, and the darkness could not comprehend the light in the sense that it could not overcome it. And we live thereby. The Lord became our father by an expression of light. And we're not only family, but we're also friends of his if we follow after the commandments and sayings of Jesus. Now, in these devotionals, these daily helps, that we put forth. We dedicate ourselves to the Lord's service in the two great commands. The Hear, O Israel statute of love of the Lord, who is one. And then accordingly in love for one another. There's no substitute for those things. They're the pillars of faith that uphold all else. And there's no greater way, no higher purpose, such as the way of life, as we pursue the truth that ever was and always will be. So out of many tribes and kindreds and nations and tongues, we who are the Gentile bride are drawn to serve God, who is, in all reality, the very essence of truth. The truth that exists because it must exist, being of an endless beginning as we go back before time was born, and is of a never-ending nature as we move ahead through that which is to come. So the Spirit of Truth had expression, the Spirit of Truth had life, and that life was within the word that was spoken by God Almighty. And thus here we are. And in those thoughts, that leads me here to Psalms chapter 87 and from verse 4, the psalm that speaks of the glorious things that are spoken of the city of God. Psalms chapter 87, which reads from verse 4, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Rahab used as kind of a euphemism for the land of Egypt in this particular instance. So I'll make mention of Egypt and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. As well as the singers, as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. All the advantages that I have, all the spiritual blessings, all the springs of the fountains of living water are in these words. So in short, where else could one want to be but here in Zion, the city of the living God? Where could you go but to the Lord? As John the Apostle Revelator would catch the vision of it with more detail, in the seeing of the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband, which you find in Revelation 21, verse 2. And this is the promise given to we, the church. It's prophetic, and it's a promise given to we who are not the natural seed of Abraham or Abraham, but who do practice the faith of Abraham, who believed in the promise despite the deadness of Sarah's womb. And this is the foundation for the Great Commission of Jesus. After life overcame the darkness of the tomb, there was then the call to go out to the nations and preach the gospel, to seek and save the lost. And having fulfilled the Messiah messenger promise of whom Jesus said, I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, following that, and on the resurrection being accomplished, then it was time for the isles of the Gentile nations to lean upon the everlasting arms, and the gospel's now committed to us. And what a blessing that is. It's committed to us in order to bring to pass this saying, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. From Isaiah 56 and verse 7. All people includes those out of Rahab, Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Palestine, Lebanon, Ethiopia, the land of Cush. It had to be that way. As mercy has come to us, living mercy in the person of Christ. And if we could go back and see our ancient ancestors, they were steeped in all the mythologies and heathen practices that were common to their time period. The prophets were not committed to them, nor were they looking for any type of Messiah to be their salvation. But the promise was always there that one could come to the God of Israel, like as Ruth of Moab did, who forsook the land of her nativity to become one of the chosen seed. So don't, as Ruth of Moab intimated in the scripture, don't take me back to the land where I was born. Don't even bury me there. Your God is my God, and I'm as one of you now. And as such, she became part of the lineage and the story that led to the coming of Christ, being great-grandmother to David the king, who received the covenant that would centuries later lead to the birth in Bethlehem. So we get grafted right onto the tree of faith, and that was always part of the word. There were always foundations for that written in scripture. So where else could I go but to the Lord? Where else could I go but to the cross? Where else is there to go except there? Where else could I go but to the blessed old Bible? Where could I go but to Zion's hills, from whence cometh our help? So this psalm, in all realness of vision, it means that you can get a new and a living birth certificate in Christ the Lord. Wherever it was that you were born in this earth, in the Americas, north or south, in Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia, or the island nations of this world, you're born again. When God writes up his census, when the Lord shall count and write names in the Lamb's Book of Life, it will be said of the Gentile saints, this man was born there, in Zion, spiritually, by rebirth. And there will be the harmony and joy of victory by song there that shows in verse 7. For praise like that, it reaches to the heights of joy that without the music to help, it would otherwise be hard to reach that place of faith. But God makes a way to get to the depths of the soul, and it's ever been. Even when the morning stars sang and the sons of God all shouted for joy. So all my springs are in thee. All the fountains of living water are in you. They're given, such as were offered to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, by Jesus in New Testament times, by the Savior himself. And everything that God is, he's proved and poured into his word. So where could I go? He's the Lord. I am God, and there is no other. And since Adam's formation, the Lord's been on a search for evidence of the seed of faith implanted in each and every heart. As written in Romans 12, verse 3, there's a measure of faith embedded into the fabric of every human being. Now some, because of disadvantages of birth, some cannot express their faith, but it's there even in a case like that, and God judges souls on that basis as to the level of their given abilities. But to whom much is given, much is then expected. So in Psalms chapter 73, Psalm 73, this is from the laments of Asaph, the singer, poet of Israel, who was so afflicted by the injustices that he observed. And we've all seen many injustices in this world. But the things he observed, he was ready to give up within his soul. But then he got into the sanctuary, and understanding came to him, so much so that he was ashamed of himself, as he started thinking on an eternal basis instead of that which only lasts for the moment, which gives him this realization in Psalm 73 from verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And that expression, Asaph's words are still declaring all the works of the Almighty God, even as we read them out loud and share in them together. So who have I in heaven but thee? Or in the words of the song and our title phrase, where could I go but to the Lord? These thoughts poured into the songs that, of course, now they're scriptures to us, but they stand the test of time. They stand the test of when time shall be no longer, as these are eternal expressions. Whom have I in heaven but you? Our hope from Scripture is the only hope. It's the way, the truth, the life, of which Jesus spoke in St. John 14, verse 6. Life's always been in a person, the person of Christ, who was there from the beginning as the tree of life. And these verses mean just as much to us now as they did to that early generation at the establishment of the kingship when they were composed in the temple service whom Asaph helped establish. And what else would we want? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It's enough that I have you to be my salvation, my Messiah of promise, my lawyer, advocate. Your precious blood will speak for me. Even though it would be many centuries, the best part of 10 centuries from the time of when this psalm was written to when the purpose and plan of the ages would come to be at Calvary, even though there was all that point of time, it's clear to us that we have nowhere else to go but to the Lord. And that's all we do have. Everything else I'm going to lose, including the garments on my back, just like Jesus did. He lost the clothes off his back too, as they gambled for his belongings and cast lots for his vesture. But that act of obedience would gain full assurance of salvation for us all. Where indeed, where else could I go but to the Lord? God bless the faithful who call upon his name. Stay blessed until we meet again tomorrow. Stay blessed. And shalom, everyone.